I'm a recovered addict. My name is Sid.
Yes.
Now, since I'm up here to speak spiritually, I am going to address the room with my God-given name. Hello, everyone. My name is Cindy, and I'm a recovered addict. I did not see myself standing up here, ever. But apparently you guys in the room see me fit to be the one standing here, so I accept. A year ago, I said, yeah, I'll do it. And here I am a year later, and it actually happened. Just like I said last Friday, if you guys heard me, no crazy catastrophe happened to stop me from coming here today. Darn. When I woke up this morning, I was overcome with a sense of gratitude, and I'm going to share with you my process of how I woke up. What? You can't hear me? Noodles, can we take this thingy off? Can you hear me now? Okay, there we go. All right. So a year ago, a man who's not here with us today, which normally would be here, came to me when I received my year chip, and he told me that when he met me, he did not think that I was going to make it. And to stand there and get your chip and then have someone look at you in the face and say, hey, I did not think that you were going to make it at all. It's kind of like a taken aback type of comment. But then I got to have a further conversation with him because I didn't think that I was going to make it then either. And now when I accepted my two-year chip, I got to walk up to him and I got to share with him how much what he said to me drove me and motivated me. Like, you think I can't do it? I'm going to do it. That's the attitude that I had when I came in. Everyone had their bets against me, every single person. But I'll show you, was my attitude. And if he were here today, I would get to tell him to his face, I'm here, and I made it. And I not only made it, I heard the speaker say last night that she had arrived. That's how I feel today. I'm not the person that came in and didn't want to share. I'm not the person that came in and wanted to sit in the back and just ignore everyone and everything and just show up, see my face, and then go home. I'm not that addict anymore. The person that I am today is that I'm here. You're going to know that I'm here because I have arrived. My favorite reading in H&I is the reaching out, and I'm here because someone else worked their 12-step on me. I also heard the speaker last night say, how many people have a sponsee in their back pocket? How many of you have me in your back pocket? There's quite a few in the room, you know, that I live there in your back pocket, but it's by the grace of God that you allow me to be there. My journey started in a Lutheran home with a mom and a dad. And I was taught right from wrong, and I was given this religion that I didn't quite understand. I'm a see-it-to-believe-it type person, so if you tell me that a man turned that water into wine and it's now wine, and I don't know how, I didn't understand that concept. I didn't get it, so I was always asking questions, like, I don't understand, I don't get it, I don't want to go. I know all the Bible verses, I know all the songs, and I know all the tunes and the stories, but I didn't get it. I didn't understand. So what did I do? I rebelled. You know, I slowly stopped going to church. I slowly started hanging out with the wrong people. But then I quickly decided to do what I wanted to do. Which seemed to be a common theme for a lot of my life, is that I was going to do what I wanted to do. But for some reason, every time I ended up in a church or a church setting or a funeral or a Lord's Prayer was said at a meeting, I wanted to cry. And I couldn't figure out why for the longest time until last night. I was watching karaoke, having a conversation with a woman in the back, and I had told her when that woman was singing that beautiful gospel song that every time I hear some sort of church hymn, I want to cry, and I don't get it. I don't get why. And she simply looked at me and goes, because that's where you're from. That's your roots. That's where you're grounded. And it was just like a, wow, that's so true. Because that is where I'm from. That is my roots. That is my grounding. I grew up in the hands of a loving God. And I still believe today that that loving God still loves me, even if I don't fully understand who that person is. So my sobriety date is June 13th of 2021. And on that day, I decided that whatever God was, I was going to give it a chance. And when I say that I was going to give it a chance, I was going to say that I was actually going to start doing it. For me, it was simple. I was in a treatment center, detoxing, like we all do, feeling the greatest, right? I was demanding the medication that they promised me to help me feel better, and it wasn't coming. So that's the mindset that I was in, right? But then all I thought in my head was, what if I talk to God right now? What would that look like? So I did. I did the whole get on my knees, and I put my hands on the bed, and I prayed. And I know Mom and Dad, we never prayed like that. But for some reason, that's how I thought I needed to pray to God, was to get down and bow and do the thing. And so that's what I was doing, detoxing, sick and broken in a treatment center. And all I simply said was, I don't know who you are or what you are, but I'm listening. And I lost it. When I say I lost it, I cried for a very, very, very long time. And it was ugly, it was snotty, it was the type crying, you know. But when I was done crying, the roommate that I had asked if I wanted some grapes. And I was like, yeah, I want some grapes. So that instantly turned, you know, and took me back into the present moment of, yeah, that's right, I do want grapes. I am here, this is real life. I don't know what just happened, because she sat in her bed the whole time and watched me cry. That was probably pretty awkward. Now that I think about it, it's probably like, what's wrong with this chick? But the very next day, my life changed. All of it. I shared on Friday that my spiritual journey happened by St. Vincent de Paul paying for my entire stay in sober living. And I received a phone call that day, and I just remembered this right now. There's a woman that I met in church who called someone that I know and said, hey, do you think Sid would want to talk to me? Because I'm in this treatment center, I'm locked, and you can't get to me, and whatever. And she's like, do you think she would want to talk to me? And her reply was, well, you should ask her that. Like, if you think someone wants to talk to you, you should ask them if they want to talk to you. So she did. She called up the treatment center, and I got pulled out of group, and they're like, hey, you have a phone call. I'm like, okay, cool. So I went and I answered the phone, and it was this woman, and she said, hi, I just met you, but would you like to say a prayer with me? Is that intrusive? Would you like to pray? And I'm like, whoa, this is now someone who I met on Sunday, and here I am Monday, and she's on the phone with me saying, hey, I don't want to, you know, be pushy or anything like that. I just want to ask if you want to pray. So I did. Why not? I'm pretty much following whatever's going on now. Like, yeah, sure, we'll pray. And then I continued doing that with her. And our conversation didn't turn into 12-step. It didn't turn into recovery. It turned into mental health, where she was at and where I was at every day. We had this common bond that, hey, we both struggle and we can get through it by prayer. And that's what we would do. Every now and then I get a random message from her and I end up on the phone with her and we do the same thing again. That's something that happened directly after I made that contact with God when I was broken. If that's not a great sign, I don't know what is. How I got there is also a great sign. I was driving a car in the end of my using, and I drove it to the ground. Because, you know, we don't pay attention. Drugs were more important. Getting money was more important. What we did in the car is more important than the car itself. And I never put oil in it. My dad's like, yep, dumbass. And if you don't put oil in a car, it blows up or starts smoking of the sort. And my sponsor was driving my car and dropping me off at this treatment center and unloading my little basket of clothes that I had and the couple crystals that I owned and all this stuff. And she leaves to go wherever she was going, and my car broke right around the corner at the stoplight. Boom, done. God said, you go no further. This is where you stop. This is the vehicle that you were using to do whatever you wanted to do. He said, hey, Sid, you're doing your own thing right now. We're going to stop it. Instantly. And that was a huge sign. And I didn't know about any of that till like I was already kind of a couple days into this facility. And it was like an eye-opening thing when it happened. But if that's not an example of a God that I don't know yet trying to reach down and touch me, I don't know what else is. Because that was before I had even made that contact, that my car blew up. So if I don't want to contact God and I want to do what I want to do, I'm going to blow up, is what I understand. But if I want to not blow up and I want to help someone else and I want to continue doing this, the simple solution is that I got to contact God. That's it. All of the people in the room here today are tools. You're all a wonderful tool that God has given me. You're not the people that are going to save my life, though. Because if I decide to do what I want to do, no human form is going to save me. Not a single one. Man will fail you 10 out of 10 times if you put your whole faith in it. And that's something that I took a long time to learn. Long time to learn, because I wanted to trust the thing that I could see. I wanted to trust the physical being. Because when I was in school and I was learning about God, I couldn't see it, so I didn't understand it, so I didn't believe it. It took everything that I've gone through for me to understand and believe it and get it. And I can't explain to you how awesome that is. Because when I say that I have arrived, I have fucking arrived. And I never know what I'm going to do or say. A lot of the times, if you know me, I'm a little bit of a little kid, like a big little kid. Give me a little Toys or Tonka toy, and I'm going to ride it around the room, and we're going to stick our tongue out at each other, and we're going to put hands in photos, and we're going to flip each other off, and I'm going to pull my pants down and moon you. I'm not going to. I'm not going to, guys. A lot of you have already seen it. You don't need to see it again. I'll spare you. Unless you want to. Just saying. But I think that that's God. I was told a couple months ago that there's a gentleman in the room that every time that I'm in his presence, his joy comes back. His child self comes back. He has that fire, that smile, that person that you knew 12, 15, 20 years ago. And when they said that, I kind of was like, huh, me? You sure? And then I started paying attention. I started watching. And it's very much true. When we're out there playing a game, doing our thing, being ourselves, when you're in that space with me, that's what we're going to do. We're going to have fun. We're going to be who we are. And if I feel like the person that I'm in front of isn't genuine, is full of shit, is whatever, trying to get one past me, I'm probably not even going to give you the time of day to tell you that. I'm just going to leave. And however you feel about that is yours. Because today I surround myself with people who walk with integrity and they use the tools that they learned in this program in their entire life. And if you step into our lives at any point, you'll see that very quickly. We're not just a group of friends who all smoked crack. That's not just who we are. Sorry. We're a whole lot more than that. You had said last night that we are some smart people, and we are. I graduated high school with like a 1.2 GPA because I played sports. As long as I was there in the classroom and I got a solid D minus, I could take the field at the end of the day. I could be the captain. I could do the stuff. Today, I'm a high honor roll graduate of college. I added a couple points to that GPA because I stopped doing what I wanted to do and I stopped drinking and drugging. Shocking. Something so simple that we had no idea how to do. And I take pride in that. I don't mention that because I want to sound like I'm this awesome person. I say that because that was something that I struggled with for a very long time. Even while I was learning who I wasn't when I was a kid. I didn't care about school. I wanted to go do stuff after school. But I say that now is because the tools of the program and working through everything that I've worked through, it allowed me to see that school is pretty important, especially if you want to have a living and do something with your life. Because working at a drive-through counter, handing you your fast food bag, isn't a dream. At least not my dream. I was introduced to quite a few people right when I came in, and they were all from CA. Then I left and came back. When I came back to get my first chip at the Lake Area Club out in Oconomowoc, the amount of this area's presence that showed up that night to see me get my key tag was the answer that I needed. My family had shown up for me, and that's you guys. When I came in, I was that person who did not want to hug you because I didn't like you. Don't touch me. Don't hug me. I don't even like you. And I would tell you that to your face. Straight to your face. I would think that you guys were in this cult. Like, you tell me that's not a cult, but you're holding hands, you're all talking in unison. Sounds like you're chanting. Okay, it's not a cult. Cool. If you say it's not, it's not. But it's a fellowship. I learned that when I would say it's a cult, someone would correct me and say, no, it's a fellowship. We are a fellowship of men and women who share an equal purpose. And today our purpose is to share that with someone who doesn't have it. That's exactly how it worked for me. So when I think that I see someone in the corner and they're like, oh, this is weird, I don't want to hold hands, I'm that person that's coming up to give you that big, stupid, culty hug. I'm going to tell you that I love you and I don't even know you. I won't even know your name, but I love you. That's weird. I would do the, hey, I love you, man, and I would look at that person and I'd be like, I don't like you, I don't love you yet, but I like you. I did that for a while until I finally said it back, and I was like, oh, okay. I don't think I've said I don't like you when I've introduced myself to someone ever again since then. And that's a pretty cool thing. Early on, I was asked to do an H&I commitment, and I was 30 days sober, and I went to this detox facility, and it was a big eye-opener. My very first H&I meeting was in a facility that was a lot less fortunate than any of the ones that I was grateful to be in. I was that silver platter rehab girl. Let's pay a couple $1,000 and send you to rehab for it not to work. And then let's do it again and again and again. And then have your mom tell you that we're not going to win the lottery. So this isn't going to work anymore. I was that person that could just have everything signed with a check. So when I got to this facility and I saw that it looked like it was on the movies with the mattress that had like the wires in it and the gowns and the little footies with the gummies on the bottom of the feet and no one's around and it smells really bad, one of those facilities. And I knew that that is something that I wanted to keep doing because I thought that the one that I was in was one of the worst ones ever. And I look at this and I'm like, wow, I want to get these people out of there. Or I'm at least going to try one at a time. Because I think every single time I come home from detox, I message my sponsor and I say, hey, I think I got one. I'm still going to keep saying that. Because when we have these functions and we have these events and you see someone come back that you met in an H&I facility is like the coolest thing. I had someone who I didn't even know her name come running up to me screaming just to say hi because she met me at a detox center when she was wearing the hospital gowns and the footies and whatever. And now she had shoes on. And it was really cool because, like, something that I had said to her stuck. And that is it. That is what we do. That's what we work for. You know, the steps are important. They are. But they're just a tool, and they're just in our tool belt to help others get to their God. To see the line of events of how, who taught me how to learn about God and like watching it go up the line of people is pretty cool to watch. Because we all kind of think the same way. And if it wasn't for that person at the top, none of us would be here. If it wasn't for the founders of the book written in 1939, we wouldn't be here. And that's pretty cool. There's a quote that I recently found, and it says, he who is of two things swiftly finds peace. Those two things are peace and happiness. If you don't have peace or happiness, you are going to take a very, very, very long time finding happiness. You're not going to get there. You're not going to have any sort of peace. You're not going to know how to really smile in your soul. So if you have it, keep it, and you'll find it. For me, when I walk in a room, sometimes I smile, sometimes I have this, like, kind of a face. Don't take offense to that, please. It's just my face. But when I walk into a room, I can see everybody. I can see and feel your aura. I can tell in your smile if you're really happy because your eyes crinkle. You know, so if you're faking a smile out there, try to fix it because it is, you can peg it. You know what it is. You can see it. But I love the people that I can walk up to and I don't see very often. And I can smile at them, and they may not have had a smile on their face when I walked up, but you best believe they have one when I walk away. That's something that I like to do. I like to make people feel how I feel. If I feel this happy and free, you can feel this happy and free. I know that a lot of the times it's fun and games and joking, but there is a serious time. And if you don't take the serious time to work to get to that point, you won't have the fun in the games. There's a lot of people in this room tonight that we all wish would be here, but they're not because they're dead. Every single person in this room knows someone who has died from alcohol or drugs. Everyone in the room also knows a way to share with others. So we keep people alive. When I hear that somebody had passed away, I'm almost cold to it now. And I don't particularly like that. That like, oh yeah, that happened. Cool. Another one. Right. But then it makes me think, am I doing my part? Am I being of maximum service? And a lot of the times I'm not. Because I'm busy, I'm tired, I'm working, I have school, I have this, I want to go play pickleball. You know, all these things come up that I think are way more important than going to talk to someone about their problems. You know, let's be real, not everybody wants to hear everyone else's cry story. But we almost have to. We sit and we listen till that person gets to that point, and we help them. I didn't understand early on what it was like to have a higher power that I chose. So it's not really like the visual, it's a feeling. When someone's in the room talking and I get goosebumps or an ear starts ringing or I start tingling on my forehead, that's usually God talking through that person. They're using that individual to get to me. And that's usually when I can be aware. And that's how I can describe my higher power, is in a feeling. But how did I get there? I wanted a loving God. I wanted a forgiving one. I wanted a patient one. But I also wanted one to show me the ability that I can show others. I know that was something very important that I put on my list of what I wanted my God to be, is allow me to do this with others. And that is awesome. Before I came in here, Stacey had said we were outside, and she does this thing in her hugs where, like, she will not let go of you, even no matter how many times you pull away, she will not let go of you until you drop your shoulders and let it out. You know, and here I am, like, nope, not doing it, not doing it, not doing it. But I would tell you, when you drop those shoulders, you let go of everything. Everything that your human form holds on to, that you think you need to hold on to, gets let out. And then I started crying, and there's a lot of people in this room that have made me cry. And it's not that you've made me cry. You've allowed me to be able to see what I need to see, to be able to work on it. You've made me aware. And when those things happen, that's definitely not us. That is God. Because the things that I would want to do are not always what we do here. I would love to be sitting in my living room wrapped in a blanket right now. But that's what Sid wants to do. What Sid's God wants Sid to do is to stand here at this podium and to talk to you guys. I don't think I've thanked the committee. So thank you, committee, for choosing me. I'm still really shocked at why, but I know that now that I've said that out loud, there's a lot of people in the room that are going to help me work on that. When I say that I don't know why you guys think that I would be fit, just saying that out loud makes me realize that I have work to do, because I shouldn't talk about myself that way. If I don't allow my friends to speak to themselves or their friends like that, I shouldn't have myself talk like that as well. But that's just something that I become aware of every day. You know, I'm always going to keep working and keep writing, and you just keep doing it over and over and over, literally until you die. It's not a, hey, we're going to do this for 12 years, and at 13, we're going to tap out, and we're done. No, we're going to do this every single day until the day we die, and we will have names on walls in fellowships of people who died sober. That is a great goal. It's not really a quite an understandable. My goal is to die sober. That's a quite, yeah, you get it. Do you understand? But it's true. It's, this is me. This is what you get when you take a couple drugs, put them in there, mix them up, ruin a life, save some lives, wreck some stuff, burn a bunch of bridges. You mix that all up, throw it up in the air, God grabs it, he holds it, he loves it, he hugs it, he sends it back down, and here I am. To me, that's kind of how all that works. If you don't understand who God is, you could easily start with a good orderly direction. You know, use the little sayings, the acronyms, the terms that we learn. Use those because they work. It works if you work it. I say that because that was one of my most irritating things that I would hear at the end of meetings. But it's really true. It works if you work it. Like, no matter how much I hate it, it works. But in that silent moment, we all had a chance to be grateful. Every single heart, I just got to watch get a little bit bigger. And to me, that is cool. I thought I would be super scared standing up here in front of people. But once I recognized that fear and I asked God to take it away from me, he did. And it's not scary because you guys are my friends. Why would I be scared to tell my friends about me? That sounds like a human getting in the way every time. If I think that I have nothing good to say, well, God's going to tell me that I got something to say in a very big way like this. Careful what you pray for is kind of a big thing. As I stand here, I can't stress to you guys enough how important this fellowship is. CA is my home. You guys, I turn to in your own homes. And by everything that I've learned from you, I've been able to take or put down or pick up or whatever. It doesn't matter what type of religion that you're in or spirituality or whatever it is. You know, like pagan, Wiccan, Allah, God, Jesus, Mary, all of them, whatever they are, they're all of the things. And all of the teachings are kind of aligned and are kind of similar if you take a look at all of them, which to me is quite interesting because everybody's like, oh, I'm a Christian or I'm a Catholic or this or that. And it's kind of like we all kind of are going to the same place though, right, is how I look at it as a spirituality. Is we're all on this journey, taking a path. But some people's paths go this way, some go that way, some go around. But we all end up in the same place. Whether you believe it's heaven or if you don't. To me, whatever that afterlife is in the form of the people we leave behind. If you have children and you raise them in the fellowship, to me, that's your afterlife. So strive to get to that kid, to have this. And I see a lot of kids grow up in the fellowship. It's really cool. Saw a couple singing out karaoke last night. It was pretty fun. But that's who we are. We love each other. We may not like each other all the time, but that's okay. That's another thing we get to work on. There isn't anything that is going to take away my serenity or my sobriety today. Not a single thing. And I can say that and actually believe it. You know, like, the worst imaginable things could happen the minute we walk out this door. And it's not an excuse or a reason to use or drink. There isn't a single one. I remember a moment early on where I didn't understand what God was. So somebody said, pray to their God. Like, if somebody that you love gets in a car accident and you want to pray for them, pray to their God and see what happens. And when I was, like, thinking about that, I'm like, well, why would you pray to their God if you don't even know what their God is? But it allows you to pray to yours to then connect to theirs. And it got me to see, like, oh, that person, I might know that they don't believe what I believe, but I can pray to their God at any time as well and help them. That made a lot of sense to me early on. I don't know if it made sense to you now. But I can pray to yours, and you can pray to mine whenever you want. Sometimes my God might not get through to you, but yours will. So I'm going to call him. Go to the source. We're good at that, right? I don't know how much else I have really to share with you guys. Other than I am extremely grateful to be here and to stand up here and to do this and to meet a lot of people. I'm glad there's not as many in here as there was last night. Real glad. I just want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart and tell each and every single one of you that I love you. And I pass.
Again, thank you, Sid.
One that's up there, the one that will be born today, and the one that is.